How to control that negative narrative that is in our heads. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This is Trina Glines, and Happy New Year. It is 2019, and this is my 39th podcast. I'm really excited because I just looked at my numbers not too long ago, and we have reached over 15,000 listens. And so I want to thank every single person out there who has taken time to listen to one or any of my podcasts. And I applaud you for choosing to be intentional in your life and in your marriage, if you are married, or if you're wanting to be married, that you are setting yourself up for success. That's my goal with this podcast, to be able to share information with people that will help them to become a better version of themselves, as well as understand the complexities of a marriage, the maneuvering parts, the different languages that men and women speak. There's so many dynamics that we don't talk about, and it needs to be discussed. So I applaud you for choosing to be intentional in your life and to listen to my podcasts, and I hope they have been helpful. And I'm really anxious to get into today's discussion because I've learned a lot about this, and it's helped me a lot in my own personal life. And I continue to share it with ladies in who take my class to be able to help them be able to enjoy life a little bit better, because this challenge we have really can take the joy right out of life. Ladies, I'm talking about that negative narrative that is in our heads. You can call it the crazy lady that lives in our head. I like to call it the intense woman that tries to come in and take over my mind and my thoughts. Last week in my interview with Ashlyn Mitchell, she talked about this and how they've kind of in their family with their daughters said it's the spike in their head that comes in and takes over and starts making mayhem in our brain and in our thoughts. And that's what I want to talk about today, because I really feel like many of us struggle with this, and it's not just women. I think men struggle with this as well. And I think as we get more, how do I want to put this? More visual in our lives, all the social medias, so easily at our fingertips, able to compare against others, it's going to increase. It can increase. It has increased this negative narrative that happens in our heads. And so that's what I want to talk about. Because I use the intense woman analogy in my teaching and when I've shared with you here on my podcast, I tend to call her, she's the intense woman in my head. And what is her origin? Where does she come from? Well, what I just kind of mentioned, I believe she comes from society. Her comparisons come from, books, movies we might watch, social media, things that we've just learned out in the world that like, oh, this is how life is supposed to look. This is how life is supposed to be, right? I think she comes from comparison to others, and this is probably the biggest one for us personally. When we're comparing ourselves and what we're getting done and accomplished in our lives, we're often comparing it to what we see others accomplish in their lives. This can also come from social media. As you scroll through social media and you see these perfect pictures and you look at all of these, girls and what they're accomplishing and trips they might go on and all these things, there's a negative that comes with that when we look at that as we are lacking in our lives. This is what my life should look like. So it also could come from, you know, comparison to your mom. You know, or do you feel like your mom did a better job than you did? Your sisters, your friends. Comparison is never going to serve you. I believe in pushing ourselves and challenging ourselves and working on becoming a better version of ourselves. But that should be coming from within and those desires. And we can see others' accomplishments and go, oh, you know, I really want to implement that in my life. I'm going to work on that. But if you're looking at it as you lack and they are better and I need, you know, more of that comparison, that's not going to serve you. That is not going to serve you. Another area that this comes from, which maybe this is equal to comparison to others. Comparing ourselves to the perfected version. Ladies, how often do we do that all day long? When you do something and then you think in your head, oh my gosh, I should have done it this way. It should have turned out like this. I can't believe I did that. Or, you know, always like comparing to the perfected version of you who does not exist. Because perfect doesn't exist. You are human. We are all human. There's no such thing as perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect life. We need to like get that straight, right? We are striving to better ourselves every single day. But I highly doubt we will reach a perfect state while in this life because we're human. But we will strive for that, right? But what happens is this intense woman in our heads is constantly comparing us against the perfected version of how we would get that done. And we rarely measure up. I mean, from everything, our looks, ladies, we'll look in the mirror. Oh my gosh, I don't look good in this. This doesn't look good. As compared to who? Who are we comparing that against? The perfected version. That doesn't exist. And the other piece to this is we not only compare ourselves against the perfected version, we also compare others against that same perfected version, especially our spouses. Think about it. Think how when your man does something different than you would do it, you compare it against not only how you would do it, but the perfected way you would do it that you rarely even achieve. How on earth are they ever to measure up to that? We rarely do. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more here. So the next one is unrealistic expectations. Oh, man, don't we have so many unrealistic expectations. Once again, we are human, and I believe as time keeps going, we expect more and more and more out of ourselves. Now, I am not saying we shouldn't be striving to work on a better version of ourselves, that I'm the first one that says that I believe in stretching ourselves. I believe in striving for goals. I believe in not settling. I believe in pushing myself. But there's a difference. There's a difference. It's like you can do all of those things, stretch yourself, strive for goals, not settling. You can do all those things and still have joy in your life. Still find time to take care of yourself and to make sure you're seeing the good in your life. But when we have unrealistic expectations that we are always trying to achieve, we're always in the deficit and we have so much on our plate that you have set yourself up to fail. We're trying to do too much. And the intense woman will make you feel like you need to do that. And she will set you up to fail. So some of that negative narrative comes from us having unrealistic expectations. She also is very good at having us feel like everything is past due. Right? Think about it, ladies. as you walk through your house and you see everything that needs to be done, it should have already been done. We are constantly in past due. And oh man, does this take the joy out of life? We need to be aware of that. That kind of goes along with unrealistic expectations of trying to fit too much in all at once, and then still all those things are past due. They should have already been done. So you're going to watch for these things. As I share the rest of my thoughts with you, I want you to be thinking about, you know, where the origin of this negative narrative comes from. You know, society influences it, comparison to others, comparison to the perfected version, unrealistic expectations, everything is past due. And then one last one that's really, really important. And the intense woman is so good at this one. There's one right way to do something. And we as women, as multitask alerted beings, when we do so much all at once, we have everything is on our radar. We figure out the right ways to get everything done in our household and everything's, and we have a really hard time embracing the fact there might be another way to do something, and it's okay. It's part of the intense woman. It was how I lived, you know, the first 20 plus years of our marriage. And it didn't serve me, and it didn't serve my man, and it didn't serve my family. There is more than one right way to do something. I wish I would have learned that way early on. But okay, so I'm not sharing this in, you know, I guess I want to just preface that this is not Trina saying don't push yourself. This is not Trina saying don't try to strive to be a better version of yourself at all. This is saying let's get rid of that negative narrative that's going on in our heads. And I'm going to paint some pictures of what that looks like so you can relate to it. But we need balance. We need balance in our lives. And the negative narrative in our heads, the crazy lady, the intense woman, the spike, whatever you call it, her, monster, I don't know. She is trying to take balance away from your life. All right? And we need to not only be striving to do better in our lives, we need to also be feeling joy and enjoying this life. This life was a gift given to us to learn, to grow, to move forward, and to have joy. And I think these things that we struggle with keep us from feeling that joy. So here's a really simple example. If you make a goal, say you made a New Year's goal, I'm going to sit down every morning and I'm going to schedule out my day. Great goal. I have the same goal, okay? You sit down and you have a list and you write out like 14 things that need to be done that day. And at the end of your day, you look at your list that you've been checking off and only 6 are crossed off. What is your reaction? Is your reaction like, oh my gosh, I didn't get the rest done. Good grief. I'm going to have so many more things to do tomorrow. Yeah, I didn't do it. Everything's past due, right? Didn't meet up to the perfected version, right? Unrealistic expectations. Okay. Well, then you can even throw in there one right way to do something, because the right way to do it would have been get those 14 things done, right? Or you could look at it like this. Oh my gosh. Wow. I just got 6 things done today off my list. That is awesome. I've got a few more to go. I'll push those over into tomorrow. That is awesome. I got those 6 things done. I feel really good. Which of those two reactions is going to encourage you to move forward with happiness? Is going to increase your desire to do more? Is going to motivate you? Oh, I didn't do enough. I didn't get enough done. I have all these things. How is that reaction going to serve you for the positive? It's leaving you in the deficit. Oh my gosh, I got all these extra things I've got to add to tomorrow. Nothing good is coming from that negative narrative going on in your head. But if you are able to say, wow, I got 6 things done today, can you see how that just changes the way you feel? Changes your desire, your motivation. I got 6 things done today. This is awesome. It will give you the energy to then take on your list for tomorrow. But if you go into it with the negative, you're going to be dragging your feet when you see tomorrow's list. You're going to be discouraged. So the negative narrative going on in our heads does not serve us whatsoever. It is always keeping us in the deficit. What we didn't finish, what we didn't get done, we didn't do something good enough. And not only us, but others. My husband didn't do this right. He didn't hear me. He didn't understand what I told him to do. And everything's in the deficit. And so, you know, kind of from this point on, I'm going to use the intense woman as that negative narrative in my head, just for simplicity. And that's kind of how I relate to her. So what are we going to do about her? What are we going to do about this crazy, intense woman in our head? How are we going to get rid of her? Well, I'm going to share with you kind of what's worked for me. And the thing is it's a continuum. I'm not done. I'm human. It's getting easier. And I imagine it will continue to get easier, but it will probably be something that I will need to do the rest of my life. Why? Because I'm human, just like the rest of you. So be kind to yourselves as you decide to take yourself through this process of recognizing this negative narrative that doesn't serve you. And what you can do about it, make sure you're kind to yourself during this process, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So what do we do? The first thing we have to do, is we have to recognize her. Ladies, we cannot change what we do not recognize. You have to name it to tame it. You have to hear her first. How often does that negative narrative, the intense woman, take off in your head, starts rambling, and you don't even realize what she is saying at a conscious level? So the first thing you need to do is recognize those thoughts. When you're upset at your husband for not doing something the way you would do it, you need to stop yourself. Look at these thoughts I'm having. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. Right? You have to recognize them first. So that's going to be the first step, is you paying attention to when those negative thoughts come in. You're doing your makeup. You're sitting there doing your makeup and you have a negative thought about some way you look. We've got to stop ourselves in that moment and pay attention to that thought. Otherwise, you've lost control over the intense woman. She's just going to be able to sneak her way in. So the first thing is to do is to recognize it. The second one is to understand where she is coming from. When you hear her, you stop yourself and you think about what she is telling you, right? Then those things I mentioned in the beginning, is it something that's past due? Is it something you haven't done good enough? Is she comparing how you did something to a perfected version of you? Is she comparing you to the perfect person? Is she judging someone else against this perfect person that does not exist? Is she making assumptions? Is she telling you you're not good enough? Is she telling you your man doesn't think you are good enough? That you're not important, that he thinks you're not important. She sneaks in there and starts telling us these lies that are detrimental to our emotional, mental health, to our marriage, to our connection with our mate, to our family, and to your relationship with yourself. So most likely, when you ask yourself, where is this coming from? What is she telling me? It's going to come. It's going to fall under one of these three areas. It's going to fall under comparing yourself to the perfected version, a perfected version. And we have to remember, we need to throw in that little question, as compared to who? When we are comparing somebody else and how they do something, as compared to who are we comparing? Like, that wasn't done right. Well, as compared to who? Whose definition of right? Often we are comparing it against the definition of our intense woman, our own perfected version of how it should be done. And it will come back to bite you in the butt if you don't ask yourself that question, like, as compared to who? Because as we get on going on here, there's more than one right way to do something. But the intense woman will make you believe there's only one right way, and that's your way. The next thing it will fall under is assumptions. The intense woman will constantly, that narrative in your head will have you assuming so many things going on around you. Oh my word, the assumptions that are going on are crazy. So many assumptions. And the last one is past due. Things will be in past due. These do not serve you. Perfected version, assumptions, past due. They are lies and they will make your life miserable. So let me share some examples of how these show up, okay? So let's say you just got through eating dinner and your husband gets up from the table and walks away. The kids kind of follow and go their own way and you are left with the dishes. And you've asked how many times? Like, everybody needs to help with dishes. You're so tired of asking. And what happens is we go and we stand at the sink and we're rinsing off the dishes and that narrative is going on in our heads like, I don't even know why I do this. Why even take the time to make dinner? Because nobody even cares. They don't care. Nobody helps. And I've asked my husband how many times to help me rally up the kids, to get the kids to help me do the dishes. And he doesn't care about me. How can he just walk away from the table, all of the dishes, everything here that needs to be done? I'm not important. I'm not important to him. I'm not a priority. He doesn't care. Can you see that negative narrative? Can you see in everything I just said right there? Number one, we're comparing them against a perfected version. They would not ever step away from the table without helping, because that's what I would do and you all should do what I'm doing. Okay? We are assuming, the narrative is assuming your husband and children's assumptions of they don't care about you. You're not important. Right? So not healthy. I can promise you this. If you are married to a good man and he got up from the table and walked away without helping with the dishes, never did he have the thought, I don't care about my wife. She can just go do the dishes. I'm tired. He did not think that. This is where understanding your man's language and women also understanding how to get their needs met is so important. Because he does not work like you. He does not think like you. And we as women struggle to get our needs met because we assume they should just know what we need because we've told them already how many times. Well, I don't have time today to kind of dive into all of that. Just know that all assuming is going to get you in trouble. We should not assume anything about each other. We should seek the meaning. If my man walks away from the table and goes and sits down, hey, hon, you know, I would love some help over here with the dishes. If you sat down. Are you tired? Did you have a hard day today? Find out why he might have walked away. And then he might be, oh, no, yeah, I'm more than happy to come over and help. But when we go to the sink and we sit and do that negative narrative, how is that serving you? How is that helping you? It's not. It's not helping any of us. Another example, This is a good one I use when I teach ladies. You're making dinner and your family members start coming home and you're sitting there, you're making dinner. It's very visual, ladies, right? Like, we can see you're making dinner, but what do? They go in the pantry and start eating. Hello? What are the thoughts that go through your head? How many times have you told them not to go in and get something to eat when you're making food? Hello, I'm making food. I'm making dinner for you. And that negative narrative, the intense woman in your head starts going, I don't even know why I even make dinner. They don't even care. Why am I even going to all this work? They're just going to go in there and eat. Not recognizing that, well, if you're married to a man and if you have sons, and they are single task focused beings, and they have a really strong relationship with their needs, and hunger has broke through single task focus, they're thinking, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Chances are, there's even a chance they didn't even see you're making food. Because all they're thinking is, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. They walked in the door, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. When we understand how men think and work, then it works so much better. Now what I do, instead of having that negative narrative going on in my head, I'm making dinner, my son walks in, he goes to get something to eat. I'm like, hey, bud, dinner's going to be ready like in 15 minutes. Grab yourself a couple carrots, whatever, a light snack, and then dinner will be ready. I don't take offense anymore because I know he is famished, because men have a really strong relationship with their needs and hunger has broke through single task focus. So I don't take offense to that anymore, but I used to take offense to that greatly. What if your husband cancels a date? Say a business meeting came up or something and he cancels a date. Ladies, think about it. Think about the negative narrative that goes on in your head when you get that phone call. Really? He's going to cancel the date? We've had this planned. Work's more important. Yep. Work's more important than me. Yep. He doesn't care. I don't even know why we plan anything. We can't ever get any time together. Do you see all that narrative that starts going on? She's not serving you. Stop yourself in that moment. Ask yourself, okay, what's going on? We had a date planned. These feelings I'm feeling, I'm kind of assuming my husband doesn't care that he's having to cancel this date. I need to talk to him about it. And that's when you pick up the phone, you call back and you say, "Hun, you know, I realize you have a meeting tonight, but I just wanted to share with you that I'm kind of feeling really bad that we had to cancel our date. I was really looking forward to it. And I'm struggling with the feeling that work is more important than me. And I need to talk to you about this." And give him the opportunity to say, "No, hon, I'm so sorry. I didn't know the boss was coming into town this weekend this weekend and Friday evening. And it's really inconvenient. And no, I want to go out with you. Let's, can we do it tomorrow night?" You give him the opportunity to share with you instead of you assuming he doesn't love you because he had to cancel this date, because that's where the intense woman will take you, right? That's where she will take you. She loves to assume the worst in people. And I love to tell people now, tell ladies, why not assume the best in your spouse, the person you've dedicated your life to, and they've dedicated their life to you. We should be assuming the best. But the intense woman, the negative narrative in your head, is not going to do that. We have to consciously do that, and we've got to kick her out. Say your husband leaves items in the house around. Let's use socks. Leaves socks on the side of the bed. And you've asked, how many times have you asked, right, to have him pick up his socks? And he doesn't. And what happens is, when you come in from the morning routine with your kids and your husband's gone to work and you see the socks there on the floor, this is what happens. Those socks talk to you and they say the negative narrative. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. You can pick them up. He knows they're there. He put them there and he's thinking, oh, you can just pick them up. He doesn't care. You're not important. He didn't have time. Those thoughts don't serve you. And I can promise you this. Your single task focused man that woke up that morning and stepped over his socks to go get in the shower, he never even saw them because he was singly focused on getting to work on time, I'm not saying that your man shouldn't pick up his socks. I'm saying when you understand how your man thinks and works, it helps so much to get rid of the assumptions that come into play when they don't do something the way we would do it. Because ladies, what we're doing is we're comparing them to a version of us. We can only articulate how we work. And we often think they're just a version of us. My man's just a version of me. He is not. He has his own way of thinking, his own way of working, his own language. So when you ask him to pick up his socks, you're comparing him to how you would do it. If you were asked to do something like that, ladies, you would do it. You're a multitask alerted being. You're very much aware of everything going on around you. You're able to see those socks, hear the baby crying, remember the laundry, and stir the oatmeal in the morning. You can do it all. He doesn't work that way. But we come from it from where we understand, and we would never leave our socks there if we were asked to pick them up. And then they do, we compare them to what we would have done. And the only way we would have left our socks there is if we didn't care. We would leave our socks there very consciously. Like, I don't have time to pick those up right now. I just really don't care. I'll get them later. We're very conscious about it. So we're assuming they think the same way. And they don't. It's so, so different. And so a lot of this negative narrative that comes into our heads is because we are comparing him to how we would work. And they don't work like us. Has anybody in your household ever loaded the dishwasher wrong? I know I've used that example before. Same thing. You're comparing them against the perfected version of you, and you feel like there's one right way to do it. And this is where, ladies, if you can learn to let go of this, and to embrace that there's more than one right way to do something, you will free yourself up so much that it will allow you space in your life to accomplish other things that you desire. But when you are having to micromanage every single thing around you, you become exhausted. Absolutely spent, absolutely exhausted. He didn't wipe off the counters the right way. I love it. In Shanti Feldhahn's book, I think it's in Understanding Women. I think it's in Understanding Women, or for Women Only. Oh man, I wish I could remember. In one of her books, so she has For Women Only and For Men Only, she shares this example of a husband who says to her, "I love my wife so much, but I can never do anything right." How sad is that? That's how we make them feel because of this intense woman that's living in our heads and comparing them against the way we would do something. And she had that example of, you know, the wife was gone for a little while and came home, and the husband had cleaned up the kitchen. And as he was giving her a hug, welcoming her home, she looks over her shoulder and sees that the counter isn't wiped off right. So she lets go and goes over and rewipes the counter. And that's where his thought came. I love my wife so much, but I can't do anything right. And so if you can let go of that, it will free up so much space in your life to be able to work on other things that you desire. The intense woman wants to take away any joy, any happiness. She's always going to keep you in the deficit. She's always going to keep you looking at the negative. And we have to control it. And to do that, you have to do it at a very conscious level. You need to remember that there's no such thing as perfect. And there are so many ways to do the same thing. How many different ways can we fold a towel? How many different ways can we really load the dishwasher? How many different ways can we put things away in the pantry? Yeah, there might be ways that we have chosen to do organization, but to make somebody else question their competence in being able to do some of those things, that's not fair. to question the competence of your man to be able to load the dishwasher. Such an easy, non-thinking to do, right? Like to pick up dishes and stick them in this dishwasher, and we're going to question their ability to do that? That's not fair. And I use the dishwasher just as an example. I want you to look at all different areas in your life, right? Because she'll show up and you're going to burn out trying to do things perfectly. And you're going to burn everyone else out trying to keep comparing them against this unrealistic expectation that, ladies, we rarely meet. How many times have you been at the tail end of trying to hurry and load the dishwasher? And you throw a couple extra things in going, oh my gosh, I just don't have time. I got to hurry and go. I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. Right? Like we've got to recognize that we don't always even meet we rarely meet the expectations we set upon ourselves. So if you can embrace this and embrace that your way isn't the only right way, you will be so much happier and you will have way more control over that negative narrative going on in your head, because she uses that comparison to the perfected version, and that's often comparing to the perfected version of how we think it should look, me, how I think it should look. And then assumptions, oh my word, assumptions are never, ever good. Why on earth do we assume the worst of our loved ones? How is that serving you? How is that serving me? The intense woman will have you assuming and questioning everyone's love for you. She bases their love off of their actions, being exactly what you would do, or and they're not you. They are not you. And we need to be okay with that. And I get that there are certain situations that things might need to be done in a precise way. And there's a way to ask for that from the very beginning, as you ask for help in that area, to ask for that without making them feel less than, right? Like there really is a way to do that. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, so my son was doing an Eagle project. And we had to wrap duct tape on to some PVC pipe. And, you know, this is an Eagle project. It needed to be done right. And so for me to take the time and say, okay, bud, you got to put on the duct tape and you got to pull it tight. You don't want wrinkles in it and you want to wrap it all the way around. And this is what it's going to need to look like. It's very precise. If you get some on and it's not straight or it's wrinkled, then, you know, probably rip it off and start over. See, I can share with him precise in the beginning, but then to go back and correct it afterwards, if you didn't give him those precise things, then that's when they're going to take it as... they're going to take it very negative. They're going to take it very personal. It will shut them down. They're going to take it as criticism. Now, what if you told them precisely and they still didn't do it? There's still a better way. But I know, you know, you're anxious to get this done and I appreciate it. We talked about it. You can see how this one is, and you can see some of these aren't working right. And these are going to be given to kids at the school. You're going to, you know, your name's going on this Eagle project. Why don't you try taking a little bit extra time and try and do it this way again? Can you see how that's so much better than, really, dude? Really? What the heck? It's all in the way we choose to communicate it. But the intense woman doesn't give you much time to communicate. That's why you have to get rid of her in your head, that crazy narrative going on, so that you can have the ability to communicate more lovingly, because you are being very conscious with your actions, very conscious with your word choices, not letting her consume what's going on in your head. I really want you to pay attention to this. When your husband doesn't do something the way you would do it or the way you've told him to do it, please listen to the narrative in your head, because you can't change what you don't recognize. Think how often you think, he doesn't love me enough, he doesn't care about me, his socks are left on the ground, he doesn't care, I'm not important, what I say doesn't matter. Think about just all those things. I want you to pay attention to them, because if you don't pay attention to them, if you can't hear them, it's going to be really hard to change it. It's really going to be really hard to tame it. So make sure you're paying attention to when those thoughts come. And I hope you'll like hear and go, oh my gosh, this is what Trina was talking about. My husband does love me. He does care about me. And the fact that his socks are on the floor does not say he doesn't. But yet that's kind of where we go to. So I'm anxious to have you be able to hear those that narrative going on in your head, because once you hear it, you stop and you pay attention to it, then it's going to be like, oh my word, this is really true. And you're going to then be able to move forward with naming it and now taming it, getting rid of that intense woman, stopping with the, so the first one we talked about, comparing to the perfect person. Okay. Now assumptions. We just talked about assumptions. Now we're going to talk about past due. Everything's in past due mode. Don't you just walk through your house and see everything that needs to be done and it should have already been done? Right? Like this podcast, it's Saturday night. I should have had this podcast done days ago. Right? Everything's always past due. And that's how the intense woman, that negative narrative in our head, will keep us at past due. Now, there's obviously we want to get things done in a timely manner. We do not want to be procrastinators. So I'm not like cheering on, let's just procrastinate to the last minute. I'm not saying that. There's just a level of the fact that as a multitask alerted being, we see everything that needs to be done. We now have our expectations of how much we think we should get done in this day that are not realistic. And then they keep screaming at us as past due. Let's be more real. Let's look at things and be more aware of what can I really accomplish today, and set yourself up for success, because working with everything already needing to be done is exhausting. It will continue to exhaust you. And as long as you are exhausted, you can't be the best version of yourself. We are all human. We can only do so much. We can go 100 miles an hour for so long, but then we will burn out. We will run out of gas. And you've got to make sure you're filling yourself back up. So if you're realistic with your to-dos and you are a little bit more flexible with yourself, then it's okay if you have to adjust your schedule a little bit to help you achieve what you need to achieve. It's okay. Success plus joy is what you want to shoot for. Success plus joy. But when we have success plus being stressed out, that's not a very good quality of life. And I think the majority of us stay stuck in that. Success plus being stressed out to get that success. And that's not the quality of life that we want to live. And that's where the intense woman is going to just drive you crazy. The negative narrative in your head. Kind of a personal example of this for me on having to be realistic with what I can accomplish, what I can do, as well as, being able to sit down, write out a list of stuff I want to do, and achieve it. Mine has been altered. I deal with some chronic headaches. And with doing that, I'm one that used to run 100 miles an hour all the time. And I've had to slow down. And this last week, I was very conscious of it. I was like, you know what? They're not going away like I want them to. So I'm going to have to adjust my life a little bit so I can still have the success plus joy. And so I was one that I wanted to be up at 6 in the morning. I wanted to be able to get all my stuff done. I wanted to be at my desk by 9. I wanted, you know, I had my morning routine that I love, and I will give up really easily to get other things accomplished. But that's leaving me empty. And so I recognized this week, I was like, okay, I'm going to do these things and I don't care what time I start them. Because when you have a headache all day, you kind of need sleep. So I've recognized, like, Trina, it's okay if you don't get up till 7. Some mornings I haven't got up till 8. sometimes a little bit past 8. And I've still gone. I've sat in my chair. I've done my studies I like to do in the morning. I did my workout. I've adjusted my workouts to be a little bit shorter. And I'm okay. Now, see, so I've adjusted and been more realistic with my to-dos. Recognizing I'm working with this the circumstances outside of my control of having these headaches. And now I don't feel like I'm failing. Because before, for a long time, I'm like, I'm not getting up at 6 in the morning. I should be getting up, right? Comparing myself to the perfected version of myself, because the perfected Trina would be up at 6 a.m. no matter what time I went to bed. No, I'm going to allow myself to have my body that time to sleep, to try and heal. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do the things I need to do. And my day has been starting a little bit later this whole week. And I've survived. I've actually been better this whole week because of it. And letting go of comparing myself against what I should have been doing, what I should be able to do. And I think we really need to pay attention to that, ladies, because as women and multitask alerted beings, we're aware of everything that needs to be done all the time. Around us all the time. We're constantly aware of it, and it weighs heavy on us. And I think there's a piece of us that knows we really can get this all done if we don't get interrupted, but that's not life. You're going to have interruptions. My headache is an interruption. And so we need to make adjustments to fit that. And that's going to help you get rid of that negative narrative in your heads. Like this week, I've been so kind to myself. I didn't beat myself up that I wasn't able to get up when my alarm went off. I still was like, okay, I don't care. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to sit in my chair. I'm going to do my morning routine. I was taking care of me, serving me, doing what I needed to do to help me be the best version of myself. And I had to get rid of comparing it to how I wish I could do it because the circumstances have changed. I haven't been able to. So the negative narrative in our heads, the crazy lady, the intense woman, the spike, whoever it is, whatever you call it, you need to pay attention to those subconscious thoughts that come in your head. Because once you pay attention to them, then you recognize, oh, this is really happening. You're able to take those steps, ask yourself that question of, okay, what is it that is going on in my head right now? What am I thinking about? Is this real? All right. What's causing it? Is something past due? Am I not doing something good enough? Am I comparing myself to a perfect version? Am I comparing my spouse to a perfect version? Ask yourself, because you're interrupting. You're interrupting that negative narrative. So you really do have to ask, what am I doing right now? I'm assuming my husband doesn't love me because he just walked away from helping me with the dishes. Okay. This is an assumption. And I'm comparing him against what I would do. Okay, stop. Breathe. Hun, I would really love if you come back over and help me with the dishes. I would love it. And you ask for what you need, right? Instead of assuming the worst in your man. So you look for those three traps of comparing to the perfected version, having assumptions, and that things are in past due mode. They don't serve you. They don't serve you. And I believe in my experience, those are the things that feed that negative narrative in our head. And they do come from, you know, society, comparison to others, comparisons to the perfect version, unrealistic expectation, everything past due, and believing that there's one right way to do something. Not a truth at all. We've got to get rid of that. All right. I hope this helped you out. I hope this will help you start this new year out with understanding that how the negative narrative in our heads is not serving us. And we need to be very conscious with our thoughts, catch it and be very conscious and not let the subconscious narrative just take off and go with us. It's not serving you. It's not helping you live the life that you really, truly desire. And she's going to make your life miserable. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. As always, if you feel like these podcasts have been helpful to you, I would love if you would leave me a review. It will just help me be able to have a wider reach to reach more ladies. My goal is to just share helpful information that will help ladies increase their happiness in their marriage and their life. That is my goal. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you have a wonderful week.